welcome to another episode of the Image Doctors at Nikonians podcast. I'm Jason Odell.
And I'm Rick Walker. And this is episode number 25, October 12th, 2006.
How did we make it this far?
I don't know. It's just kind of amazing.
But here we are.
25 episodes.
That's right. Well, we have a full episode for you again today.
As opposed to a half episode.
Yes, a half episode. We've got a couple of announcements, and I think we'll start with the short stuff first, and that is we're going to discuss the recent D2X, D2HS, and D200 firmware upgrades, which are available freely from your local Nikon website, your area, whether Nikon USA or Nikon Europe or wherever you download your stuff from.
Yep.
And then we want to talk a little bit about sort of continue our theme talking about software reviews and workflow and things like that. We thought we'd review Photo Mechanic software, which is for that part of your workflow before you process your images.
And it's not the cataloging piece either. It's downloading your files and doing that initial sorting, labeling.
Deciding which pictures to keep,
yeah,
et cetera.
We'll talk more about its features. It's got a bunch of them. It's a pretty cool product.
Yep. So the much anticipated firmware release for the D2X and the D200 and the D2HS was announced.
Yep, although the D200
The D200 was pretty minor.
Yeah.
Right. But I should say the highly anticipated D2X and D2HS upgrade is available from Nikon for a download. And there's two parts to it, an A and a B. Mm-hmm. You have to upgrade each part separately. And the way I did this was you download the file, you copy it to a memory card. So I put a card into my card reader, copied the file over, and then put it in the camera. And then it says, hey,
just one at a time.
One at a time, and then you got to format
the
card in between.
A first.
Do A, then
put
do
it
B.
In, delete it off the card, then the B. If you try to put both on there,
bad
it'll get
happen.
Screwed up.
Yeah. Yeah, so follow the instructions, but it sounds a lot hairier than it really is. It's not hard.
Yeah, it's
just
very easy.
Just follow the procedures and you'll go fine. And the reason why everybody wanted this firmware update, or everyone's so excited about it, at least I am because I'm a D2X owner, as I know you are too, mm-hmm. Rick, is that we effectively now have a D2XS.
Pretty close to it.
I mean, darn near.
Yeah.
So let's go through briefly the list of the major changes that this new firmware 2.0 gets you.
Sure. Well, top of the list, some new ISO settings that are in third stop increments above ISO 800. So it gets you 1000, 1100, 1250, and then, of course, your next one after that.
The high one step.
The 1600 that was already there. Now, that doesn't sound like much, but there was a big difference in noise going from 800 to 1600.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I probably like you, I kind of stuck at 800 and didn't go up higher than that because the noise just wasn't too good. But now you can go up just a little bit higher to 1000 or 1100, and the noise characteristics aren't that different, so you just get a smidgen more ISO as a result of it. It'll take you up to 11, I believe.
That's right. 1100.
Yeah, so it's kind of a nice.
And
nice
I tried this indoors. I set it to high 0.03, which is 1000, mm-hmm. and I looked at it, and at least to my very casual observation in Capture NX, it looked about the same amount of noise as I would have had with an ISO 800 shot.
It's a lot but getting more that like a stuff, 800 than it is 1600.
Exactly. Sure. And so I'm thinking that I might have a few occasions where that will come in handy.
Yeah. There was supposed to be some focus and tracking improvements with their... I don't know.
I haven't tested it, to be honest with you. I've been busy working.
Yeah. I mean, I've used my camera, but it hasn't been on anything super intensive. I was just shooting elk this morning... photographing elk this morning up in Rocky Mountain National Park, and they were pretty much laying
stationary
there in the grass, so
yeah.
It didn't really
and so I guess I'll just have
things
to go back out and start tracking moving cars again with my filling up memory cards filled
let
with
us know how
license
that goes
plate shots. Yeah, that's the only real way. But I'm guessing the feature that I'm looking forward to actually is the ability to customize the tracking lock-on delay. So you can set it from before it was either on or off, and now you have sort of a normal setting, a short a short setting and a long setting. So the long is going to have a longer delay before it releases the focus to try to acquire a new point.
Yeah, this is for that scenario where something moves in front of your subject, and it could be a branch, it could be a car, it could be a whole bunch of different things. And this duration is how long the camera waits before it shifts focus to the thing that got in between you and your subject.
Yeah, and so I'm thinking that maybe switching it to short for flying critters might work.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I will have to come back to you on that one.
Yeah, the shorter you make it, the more responsive the autofocus system can potentially be. But we'll just have to see.
Yeah, I know that taking pictures of birds jumping off a branch, usually the camera stuck on the branch and didn't track the bird because it was so fast. So we'll see what happens with that.
There's a black and white mode. That's nice for when you want to just chug out some really basic black and white images, put out some JPEGs, and not have to worry about post-processing them or getting them too fancy.
Yeah, and that's an sRGB feature only. So if your camera is set to Adobe RGB, you won't be able to access the black and white mode option. You have to set it to sRGB first. And since if you have a D2X or a D200, those are separate. Set your color mode and your color space separately.
Yep. You can trim the images. You can now upload three custom tone curves. I never use those things.
I've never done either. But
actually, I did experiment with them not too long ago and then screwed up and left it in there and screwed up a whole bunch of shots. But
Thank goodness you were shooting RAW, right?
Yeah. And you will need to have the latest version of Capture 4 to do that, or the latest version of the new Camera Control Pro.
Which I guess if we get sidetracked here for just a moment, that would be the other announcement that very quietly Nikon announced Capture 4.4.2. And this was the mystery version that no one was really sure would even exist. Because there was that big stink that happened when Capture NX was released.
Right.
And I think this, I think Nikon should be applauded for this move, because now if you don't want to upgrade to Capture NX and you still have an existing version of Nikon Capture 4, now you can use this with a D2XS, and I think the D80 is in there too, and it adds a little bit of functionality, so they didn't get rid of you altogether. I would imagine that's probably going to be the last iteration of Capture 4 as we know it. That's my hunch.
Yeah, I would.
But at least they did it, and then they supported us for this year, and I think that's very cool of Nikon to do.
And there's some other things in there. There's stuff with image authentication. I don't care about that.
Yeah, and this is back to our firmware list.
Yeah.
Now, a cool thing though is you can, if you're a pro, not like us, and if you're a pro and you have multiple D2Xs, which neither of us can afford.
Right.
You can copy your settings now, all your custom menu settings, from one camera onto your card and then put it into a second camera and then transfer those settings. So you could have two bodies set up identically without having to go through each menu. I think that's pretty cool for the working pro. What else we got here? The mirror lockup.
You can do that to clean your sensor when just using battery power.
Right.
So you don't have to have an AC adapter.
And that's something you used to do on the D70s even.
Right.
But the D2X, you had to plug it into the AC adapter. And I don't know how many of us bought that AC adapter just for that reason.
Now, what I would always do is just put it on bulb, open the shutter, give the sensor a squirt with a bulb syringe, and it was usually fine. But this is nice.
If you're going to use a brush or a sensor swipe or something like that, this would be really nice for you. And this is we are talking about the cleaning mirror lockup mode that's in the in the tools
menu. Not the mirror lockup
that we talked about a few episodes ago. Now, the auto ISO has changed.
Right.
It's increased some functionality to match what was introduced with the D200, I believe. Now, I haven't tried this yet, but I've always been a fan of using auto ISO in certain shooting situations where I know I need to lock a particular shutter speed, for example, and I want to just let the ISO vary accordingly.
And now you can change it so that there's a maximum sensitivity, you know, the highest ISO that you want it to go up to, and a minimum shutter speed. So those are useful things that make this a better feature. And it's got an increase in the number of maximum shots that you can take if you're in continuous drive setting.
Yeah, and that doesn't change the buffer.
No.
I mean, I know that there's been discussion about this. It does not change
it
the amount.
It plays more in when you're using JPEG files that
right.
are smaller. You know,
so if you've got a fast memory ones. Card, and so it's dumping from the buffer, and you're shooting something, maybe a smaller JPEG, you can now run off lots and lots of continuous mm-hmm. shots if you want, all the way up to 60. Now, this next one is pretty cool. I like this feature.
It's a function button.
Yeah, the dual assignment. So you can now assign two different functions to that little function button. One is if you just push the function button only. So stuff like spot metering or turning the flash on or, you know, disabling the flash. And the other side of it is if you hold the function button down and turn the command dial, it'll lock in other options like high-speed crop. Mm-hmm. So now you're not torn between, gosh, what do I set my function button to? Because I'd really like it for high-speed crop, but I'd also really like it to be able to toggle the flash on and off. You could use both. So that's kind of neat.
Yep. And then there are a bunch of other little things, including some changes to GPS data and, you know, taking
three
advantages
digits.
Of GPS receivers that have the digital compass feature
right.
built in.
So if you're a GPS geek, you can be somewhere now and... you GPS geeks, you know who you are.
Yep.
You can plug in your unit to the camera, be stationary. If your GPS has a compass internally in it, you'll not only tell you where you were when you took the picture, but what direction you were looking when you took it.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess if that's something that you are into, that's a very cool thing.
Yep. And so the basic things right there, we didn't talk much about the D200. It's predominantly the image authentication feature, but there is a little hidden thing in there where if you're using a Sigma lens that didn't support the AF-on feature in the past, now works.
Some of the HSM Sigma lenses didn't focus when you pushed the
right.
AF-on button on the back.
Yep.
So now you don't need to send your lens into Sigma to get chipped.
Yeah. So that's it. A bunch of features. And,
yeah. and the menus look different now, too.
They do look a little
nice
bit different.
Nice little gray, the same. If you have a D200 or if you've seen the D200 menu, this is how they look. The fonts and stuff
yeah.
have changed.
My philosophy on the firmware updates is install them. Not just for this specific update, but just in general, because inevitably there are some little bug fixes that aren't always publicized, and why not keep your software up to date?
So. Yeah, and I'm again, very thankful to Nikon for bringing these out for us D2X users and D2HS users, you know, to increase the functionality as they've improved the internal workings of the camera, the software algorithms and whatnot.
Yeah,
that's
would have
really
been
great.
Nice if they had been... made available for the old D2H as well, but...
Yeah, that's too bad.
That is a shame, but there are probably some memory limitations, processor limitations, things
we'll
like
assume
that.
That there's a good reason for it, and we'll leave it at that. We'll hope that that's the case.
Yeah.
So,
all right, so our next topic is PhotoMechanic.
Yeah, and PhotoMechanic is a product that I stumbled across a while back and then used for the first time in a serious kind of way at the Rich Clarkson Sports Photography Workshop I attended.
Right, and that's when you told me about it, too, and we both downloaded it.
Got ourselves some demo versions,
yep.
and we've been playing with it now for a while. And
we both just bought it here, too.
Yeah, to make a long story short, we've both emptied our wallets a little bit towards it.
Yeah,
it's available from... www.camerabits.com, and we'll go more into that in a little bit. But PhotoMechanic, you can think of, I like to think of it as Nikon View on steroids.
Yeah.
If you've used Nikon View to download the pictures from your camera, sort them, do slideshows, cull your images, and by slideshows, I don't mean like on screen fancy stuff, I mean just stepping through your images, yeah. You're going to really like PhotoMechanic. I think you will.
It's basically what you wished Nikon View had been. That wasn't. It's Nikon View isn't a bad little.
No, this is not a knock
browser.
Against Nikon View.
You know, it's pretty simple and it's pretty fast, but this is far more powerful and it just
and even faster.
Heck of a lot of things.
And especially for someone like me, if you're on the Mac side and you have a 4 gigabyte card full of RAW files and maybe RAW plus JPEG, it handles the previews way better than Nikon View ever pretended to.
Right.
And that was. One of the reasons why I started using this was the performance boost that I got.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got a long list of things that we like about it.
Yeah, there are a bunch of things that led us both to buying it.
And we should probably start and try to go through these in a logical order. So let's take you through in a workflow kind of scenario.
Right.
Starting with you either connect your camera to your computer or you put a memory card in the card reader.
Mm-hmm.
There's a preference in your computer usually to launch the application automatically when it detects a card or a camera attached. At least I know that's how mine is. So then Photo Mechanic comes up, and you get something called the ingest window. That's the process that it describes transferring images from your card to your it's ingesting them. That sounds so
on a Windows
biological
machine. You can just hit Control G and that can bring it up manually too if you want.
Apple G on the Mac mm-hmm. does that too.
Mm-hmm.
And this is really cool because you have some options there that aren't available in some other programs.
Right. And one of the things that I noticed the first time I did it that I thought was quite cool was the incremental ingest. And the idea there is you've already downloaded images off of a card.
Oh, yeah.
And now there are some more images on it. And it will, if you have this checked, it will only download those new images that haven't already been moved onto your computer.
Smart. It knows what you've already
downloaded. Now, why is this important? Well, once in a while, you might forget to format your card. And so you've added some new images to your old ones, and in the past, if you were using other means of downloading them, you ended up with a whole bunch of redundant images. And it took some time, too, especially if they were, you know, from a camera that was pretty high resolution. So that's a very nice thing. And there are probably also situations where you might just be downloading your images to maybe a laptop in the field just to look at them quickly, and you really want to wait to download your images off your card to a different computer later on. So it's kind of handy for that.
Yeah, and you know, as you might expect, during ingest, you can copy the. By default, you can choose a dated folder in the location that you've specified, or you can give the folder a name, and you can continue to put those pictures into that same name folder until you tell it otherwise. It remembers the last place you saved them to.
You can have the files renamed in some fancy convention.
Right. The IPTC editing during the ingest process is very powerful. You can rename, you can add things to that. You know, if you want to say on every image, copyright 2006, your name here, it'll do that during ingest.
And lots of other things.
Lots of other things. And probably the one thing that I saw that stood out to me as being really cool about Photo Mechanic in the ingest phase is the ability to designate a primary and secondary destination.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that means, to make a long story short, you're copying the image onto your computer into two different directories. And if you've got perhaps an external hard drive or a second hard drive, where you have as an archive, this is incredibly cool. And one reason is, let's say you're working with raw NEFs. You can have an archive folder set up so that everything goes in there, and that's your untouched, pristine, virgin NEFs. You've never messed with them. And then your other set of files, you can edit and do whatever you want, fully knowing that if something were to get corrupted, you've got a very clean backup elsewhere.
Yep.
So I like that feature a whole lot.
Yeah, the other scenario, and it's one that's really attractive to me, is let's say you're traveling somewhere and you've got a laptop with you and you've got an external hard drive too, and a pretty good size hard drive in your main laptop computer. What you can do is have it copy to both, and you can have some images on your laptop and play around with them and process them. You could delete them later if you want, but then you've also got all those images going to your external hard drive.
And then you can put those wherever when you get home.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Hook them up to your other computer, download them, whatever. Pretty neat feature.
Now, once you've brought the images in, it opens what they call a contact sheet. And it has a navigator on the left-hand side, which allows you to go open folders and all the directories in your computer.
And you can specify favorite folders,
right,
which is nice.
That's very cool. And then you have the thumbnails, which load very quickly. You can resize them and make them big or small, whatever you want to do. And one of the coolest things that I found with that was when I was shooting lots of images where I was using RAW plus JPEG on my D2X. So this is where I'm saving two pictures with the same file name. The only difference is the file extension, .jpeg or .nef. And in Nikon View, one of the things I would run into is that I would see everything there, and I could either sort by name or I could sort by file extension, but I had two copies of every picture. And what PhotoMechanic does is it allows you to do a combined RAW plus JPEG view.
And so you only see one file.
You see one thumbnail.
Yeah, and if you delete it, it deletes both.
Right, and you can do it the other way, too. You can turn that mode off if you want to see both files. It also specifies if you're using a RAW file, for example, whether it generates the preview from the, this is a Mac thing, whether it uses the embedded JPEG, or on the Macintosh platform, it will use the built-in RAW converter on OS X to generate a preview. And that can be useful to see, for example, if maybe your file was corrupted, but the JPEG embedded wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
So you could see a thumbnail that would be perfectly good, but not knowing that really that RAW file was screwed up somehow.
Mm-hmm.
That's just kind of cool, but not necessary. Not mandatory.
Right. And if you decide you want to edit that image, and of course you've got those two versions of it, RAW
gives you that option,
and a JPEG, you can specify in this program's preferences which one you want edited.
And you can also specify which application you'd like to open pictures. And so I have mine set up so that my RAWs open up in Capture NX, but my JPEGs open up in Photoshop.
Right.
Or maybe you want to open up in some other application.
Yeah, and that's the same way I have mine.
And that's very cool because you're not locked into any particular RAW conversion software, for example. Whatever you want, if you want to use ACR, or you want to use Nikon Capture, you want to use Bibble, it doesn't care. You can just specify that application for that.
Right.
So you're not locked into anything.
Yeah, and similar to programs like Adobe Bridge, you can go in there and do color labeling and tagging.
Yeah,
and
rank them.
Yeah, all of those kind of things. Sort, filter. So it makes it very nice.
Delete
for
the files right
going
from
through
computer.
And culling out bad images.
Mm-hmm. Very good for that.
Yep. You can burn CDs and DVDs right off of it, so you can just select a bunch of images and then tell it to burn a disk.
And you can rename during that process even, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And that was very cool.
Right.
Now, something that's kind of cool also is it's color space aware. So it will display things properly. And that's very nice. And I don't know if this is true on the PC side, but I'm using it on the Mac. You can email directly from the application.
Yeah, and I believe you can on the PC side, too. I haven't tried it yet. But
And that's great. I can set up an email message, and then it'll open it. If I choose, it'll open in my email program automatically to edit it. It will apply and convert your JPEGs to sRGB, which is a very nice little feature.
Yeah, because if you don't do that, they'll look kind of
washed
muted.
Out and dull. Yeah.
Yeah,
they won't look very good. If you use Photo Shelter, which is an online
archiving?
It's kind of like a network drive online. It's you can use it as sort of a vast external hard drive. I've never tried it, but it's there, and I hear it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You can directly upload your images to Photo Shelter just by clicking a button. So that's kind of nice for those people.
A few things that, are smaller features, but they're really kind of handy and clever. One, you can select a whole bunch of images and then have the resolution of those changed.
Yes.
Going from, let's say, maybe 300 DPI down to 240 DPI or whatever, and it'll save you from going into something like Photoshop and doing a resize kind of thing. So that's kind of cool. You don't lose information out of there. It just changes the default resolution.
Yeah. It lets you compare images side by side very easily in the view window. So that's very cool. You can zoom in and you can move them around. And it links the scroll so that the two images move together when you move them around.
Yeah. So if you're trying to compare sharpness, you know, which photo is an eye sharper in, it's very easy to do that. And then you can select which ones you want to cull out. Some other clever little things. I was mentioning to you earlier today a feature where you can change the capture date and time. And
it's
a nice little screen that pops up, very friendly.
And why would you want to do that, Rick?
Well, you know, if you go on this trip and you're in a completely different time zone, you know, massively different, and all your stuff is recorded at the wrong time and you would like it to be correct, you can just select a whole folder or a bunch of images and tell it to go in there and adjust, you know, all the capture dates and times, and it fixes them. Mm-hmm. And so now they're perfect.
But it's not like you're saying that from personal experience.
Oh, no. I would never forget to set the date.
One of the features that I like, and this is something that's also in Nikon View, and so I got used to it in Nikon View, and I was very happy to see that there, is for those of you who have like a D2X or D2HS that has the voice annotation button, I think the D200 may have it. I can't remember. Anyway, you record that little wave file, that audio file with your image, and it will link that file when it ingests everything. It links that file to the image thumbnail, and you just push the little button and it plays the sound, and it says, you know, that was Bob Smith and he just hit a home run or whatever it might have been. So I like that. You know, I look for kind of cool things like that in a professional application such as this. So, that's pretty much all the stuff that, I mean, you can tell we kind of like this program.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all the stuff
slick.
On our long list on our pro side of our... On
the con side, I think the primary con really is just the price.
Yeah, I would have to agree.
Yeah.
It's $150 US.
Yeah, so it wasn't an automatic purchase for me.
Nor me.
Yeah.
In fact, that was one of the reasons I was kind of hesitant.
I really kind of waited a while, just hoping that I ended up not liking it. But that didn't happen.
Yeah, unfortunately, we both did like it, and we plunked down the $150.
Yeah.
And you have to order. They don't have an online ordering system yet where you can secure e-commerce facility. You actually have to call them up.
And they're very friendly, though.
They're very nice. And this was very cool, though. For that $150, 3 days later in the mail, I got a nice padded envelope with my CD version in there.
Same here.
And that is very nice. You know, if you're going to spend the bucks, at least you know. You can get information. They have a forum at their webpage online where you can do things like download the manual and stuff like
that. Yeah, incidentally, the manual is not easy to find on their website. And I think the best way to locate it, because it's a good manual, is to go in the forum area and then do a search on manual, and you'll see some hyperlinks to it.
The fact that they have a forums section on their webpage is... shows they're responsive. They want customer feedback, and they're there to help you.
Not every software company does that.
No.
You know, other cons. The first one, it's really not a con of this specific product. It's just a frustration in general. And it's the idea that the labeling and tagging and everything is something that's not shared between all these browser products. So if you tag stuff in Photo Mechanic, you don't see it in Nikon View, and you don't see it in Bridge. And, of course, if you do something in Bridge, you won't see it in Photo Mechanic or Nikon View. None of them work with each other pretty much, so it's just a shame.
That's not a fault of this program.
No, it's a more universal frustration. It's a con. I don't know if you'd call it a con, but it doesn't include a cataloging feature. The product is not trying to be everything.
No.
It's not trying to be...
That's true.
A raw editor in addition to a browser, in addition to a cataloger. So it's not for cataloging. You'll want to use something like iView Media Pro or ACDC or Extensis
Portfolio.
Yeah,
one of those. And those cost you more money. I mean, so that's why I sort of call that a con. But you're right, though. What they set out to do was to be a darn good photo management
Download initial browser.
Yeah, browser. And they do a very, very good job at that. I think they've accomplished that mission quite well. So the only other thing I found that is a little bit confusing is that if you double click in the on a folder from the Navigator pane, and that folder doesn't have any image files in it. Let's say it's a high-level directory that contains other folders. Those folders will not be displayed in the thumbnail window.
You'll just see a blank.
You just
see
blank, and that can be confusing at first.
Sometimes you think you haven't clicked your mouse correctly or something like that.
So you can expand the folders from the navigator and look at them that way and see what the other contents are.
Yeah.
But that's a real short list of,
Put it in perspective. Those are nits. It's a very good product. And if you're dealing with a lot of images, I really would recommend you get it. If you're not doing much, the benefit is maybe a little bit more marginal, but some of those
Nikon View is still free.
Yeah. But this has some very clever features, and both of us are now using it, so...
Yeah, and it seems to be updated fairly frequently too, and then you get an automatic notification, hey, there's a newer version available. Mm-hmm. Do you want to download that? So
So
that's working for me. That's what we're using. We wouldn't have bought it if we didn't think it was any good.
Nope.
I can say that for certain. We don't throw money around.
Nope.
We might spend a lot of it, but we don't throw it around at stupid things.
That'd be true. Well, once in a while there's stupid things.
Okay,
maybe.
This one
wasn't one of them though.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. You just don't tell your wife you spend how much on software? Okay. Yeah, okay. Or your husband, I should say.
Yep. The downside of digital, that's for sure.
Heck yeah. Well, do we have anything left to jabber on about today?
I think we've jabbered enough, probably.
Yeah. So, we still have some stuff that we want to hit. I know we're starting to make our list of...
Holiday
gifts, stocking stuffers. If you have an idea of a product that you'd like us to check out, or at least, you know, I don't know if we'd buy it per se, but if, you know, check it out on the
website.
You never know what we might do. But if you've got a list, if you've got some gift ideas for that in that, you know, under, let's say, $150 range, you know, just to be fair, because this is photography, you're not going to find a lot of stuff under $50.
Although we will identify some very cool, very inexpensive things.
That's our goal. But if you have a suggestion, do tell us and do send us an email to talkradio@nikonians.org. And as always, we'll post the links to the D2X firmware upgrade, or all of the firmware upgrades, as well as the link to Photomechanics website on our show notes page at podcasts.nikonians.org. So with that, I think we've come to the close of another exciting episode.
Or at least moderately exciting.
Okay. Yeah. Hopefully you're not asleep by now. If you are, wake up, you're driving to work, and don't go off the road, okay? So, these are the Image Doctors reminding you to have fun with your photography, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks.
All right. Bye-bye.